Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his humble, oh so humble.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and you're tuning in to Brilliant Ideas Radio, and it's just me now. We don't have my humble host, Crispy, joining us again this morning, but we're going to be on with the show. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in each and every week. And we have one heck of a show lined up this week with, all kind of things. We're going to be talking mayonnaise. We're going to be talking food news. And then at the end of the show, believe it or not, I'm going to show a little class, and we're actually be having love songs Italiano style. So it's a slam-packed show with all kinds of interesting topics and things we'll be talking about. And I wanted to say too, thank you again, everyone. Last week we had another record-breaking show. We had so many listeners, and we keep growing. We've got some exciting news coming up soon with new additions that I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks. We've got new people joining the show. We've got a lot of new segments that we'll be doing on a monthly basis. So thank you again, everyone, for tuning in to our show each and every week and keeping this thing going. We've got big plans for you. And without further ado, by the way, if you can tell, I've got a little cold I'm working on here trying to talk and keep this thing going for an hour and a half. So I apologize about the voice this morning. Kind of sound like a frog. But anyway, without further ado, we are going to be bringing on our first guest. And our first guest is Adam Hawley. He's got a really interesting product that he's bringing to market. And this is the kind of thing that I'm always looking for the show, something interesting to talk about for all the foodies out there. Plus, it just gives everybody kind of an idea, if you've got an entrepreneur spirit, what's involved in bringing a new product to the market. And Adam has got a really unique product, which is called mayonnaise. And if everything's working correctly on our phone system this morning, we should have Adam on here with us. Good morning, Adam. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much. Pardon the voice, but the show must go on, as they say in the big leagues. And we wanted to have you on the show this morning to talk about your cool new product, which is Mayo for Men, and it's called mayonnaise. And the emphasis, I assume, is on the man. And I just wanted to have you on and say thank you for joining us, and wanted to find out a little bit about the product, and wanted you to come on and just tell us, first of all, how did you come up with the idea of mayonnaise?
Well, I have to be honest and let everybody know that it was an accident. I love to cook, just like some of the people on the show, I'm sure, and one day I was with my family, and we were making some great burgers at the house, and I had some jalapeno peppers lying around and wanted to do something with them, but I didn't know what. But I took a bite of one of them, and it was the hottest jalapeno that I had ever tried. I don't know why this particular batch was so spicy, but it was enough to put you on the floor, at least put me on the floor. So I decided I'd roast them on the grill and cool them off a little bit and give them a good smoky flavor. And so when I did that, they looked great, but they were still way too hot to eat, and I didn't want to throw them away. So I got to thinking, you know what can I do with these? And I decided to throw them in the food processor, and I also had some roasted garlic that I'd also put on the grill, so I put that in there and mixed it with some mayo for the burgers.
Right.
And that was really good, and I don't know why. Like I said, sometimes the best from an accident, but I decided to throw some cream cheese in there with it. And, oh, man, it was so delicious. And since then, we've tweaked the recipe a little bit and added some different flavors to get it just the way we like it. But what happened was I was eating it all summer long, and I kept making batches of it. Everybody liked it that had it. I took it to work one day in July, and there was about six of us guys sitting around eating it, and we didn't have any plates, nor did we have anything to eat it with. So we were dumping mayonnaise onto a paper towel, and we kept making to the vending machine to get more Cheetos, and we ate that entire jar of it. And some guy said, you know, you guys should sell this stuff. And I said, well, what would we call it? And that's when a guy who works with me, his name's Chase, he's a co-creator, he said, we should call it mayonnaise. And we thought that was pretty cool. The website, mayonnaise.com, wasn't taken, so we went and bought it, and we registered the trademark, and we've been going hard ever since.
Well, that's really cool. And what the funny part I'm laughing about is, so you guys are actually sitting at work eating mayonnaise and using Cheetos?
Yep. It's delicious on everything. And, yeah, we've had it. You name it, we've had it. We don't recommend Oreo cookies. That's not very good. But,
no, that wouldn't be so good. Now, so do you have, is it just one flavor, or do you have multiple flavors of mayonnaise?
Right now, we just have the one flavor.
And that's garlic, and it's got cream cheese, and also the hot jalapenos. Now, how hot is it? I assume it must be pretty spicy, and that's why it's kind of thought to be a mayonnaise for men.
That's exactly right. So the manly characteristics are certainly the heat and the garlic. You know, everybody, I'm not trying to say that ladies don't love garlic, because they do too, but it's got a smoky garlic flavor to it, and when we roast these peppers, it really brings out a smoke flavor to it as well. So it's definitely a manly food.
Well, you know, you're going to have, you know, if this takes off and does well, you're going to have to come out with a womanaise too.
Oh, yeah. We've already been told we need to add some turnip juice to it or something like that and make a womanaise.
So I've been through the process, and I know it's difficult because I've tried to bring new products to the market. And I know I actually found you guys through Kickstarter, which I follow Kickstarter because there's some interesting ideas that pop up there in the food business and all types of business. And bringing a product to market is sometimes difficult. I just wanted to, if you don't mind, to kind of give people an essence of what you've gone through so far, like with labeling and bottling and then trying to bring the product to market, and some of the trials and tribulations you may have experienced so far.
Sure, absolutely. Would it be okay if I talk a little bit about the Kickstarter process first?
Sure. That's the question I was going to ask you now. Is it over? Is it still in the process?
Nope, it's over. And, you know, only 46% of Kickstarter projects are successfully funded. And we're thankful that we were successfully funded on Monday of this week.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Thank you. So one of the main reasons we wanted to do the Kickstarter project is, first of all, to help raise the money. For those who are unfamiliar with what Kickstarter is, it's a website that's based on crowdfunding. So you launch your project, you share it with the world, and then if people like it, they help you get kickstarted by registering for different rewards. We had rewards from $5 up to $1,000, and it depends on how much mayonnaise they want, or maybe they wanted a T-shirt. And we had a few people order lifetime supplies of mayonnaise, which is pretty cool. But you know, that process, if anybody is going to do a Kickstarter project, I highly recommend doing it. It was a blessing for us, because when we launched it out there, because mayonnaise is kind of maybe a little bit controversial, or certainly different.
Right.
We got a lot of press, and the Huffington Post picked it up. And for those who don't know Huffington Post, it's, you know, it's a very large internet news site. And when they did that, we've had visitors from 40 different countries to our website.
Wow.
We've had food blogs from 30 different countries write about us. So it's pretty cool to Google mayonnaise and have to translate a website in order to read what they wrote about you. For a couple of guys from Kansas City, we're pretty excited about that.
So you were trying to raise how much?
$10,000.
All right, so you got the $10,000, you met the $10,000 goal. Now, what do you use that $10,000 for? How does that kickstart you, and what your plans are with that ten grand?
Right. So the goal of the project was to launch our first batch, and
sure.
You know, as some of you know, Frank, I'm sure you know that there's some upfront costs to really get things off the ground.
Right.
And those costs include, you know, we had to do a test batch with our co-packer that we're using. I'll talk about co-packers here in a minute too. We had to pay for the nutritional information to be certified so we can get our label. You got to pay for labels. And then, of course, you got to source all the ingredients. You got to get insurance. There's a whole gamut of things that you got to do to get set up. And
right.
That $10,000 it's already spent. But, you know, it's let us get off the ground. And we have our first full batch. We're going to make about, I think it's about 2,200 jars on October 30th, so it's coming right up.
Okay.
And if everything goes to plan and we get all the processing stuff done, we'll be live and ready to go. And the cool thing is that we're really excited about, between the Kickstarter backers and fab.com, which is a site that is a kind of an e-tailer site where they source products and sell them online.
Right.
They committed to 740 bottles. So we, of our 2,200 jars, they're pretty much all taken already. So
good.
We're pretty excited about that.
Good. So what did you say? It was fab.com, F-A-D?
F-A-B is in boy, short for fabulous.
Oh, fab, F-A-B.com. So they actually taken on the 700 or so bottles, and then they'll turn around and actually market it and sell it from their website for you.
That's correct. So for those who aren't familiar with Fab, we weren't either, but we're really excited about it. They're they're being touted as the new Amazon. They're a year old. They have 8 million users. They're growing at 500,000 users a month, and they source all their products themselves. So unlike Amazon, where you can sell anything, they go out and find the products they want to sell, and
okay.
They found us, and I'm assuming they found us on either Kickstarter or maybe Huffington Post, but they love the idea, and they committed to a one-week run of 740 jars. So
great. Good for you. Now, so you mentioned the co-packer, which I've been down that path myself, because when you come up with an idea, of course, you're making batches in your kitchen or wherever, but then you've got to go the next step and find someone to co-pack it and actually make it in a proper food plant. So what kind of process did you have to go through to find yourself a co-packer?
Well, thankfully, you know, we're in a bigger metro area. You know, Kansas City is a decent enough sized town that we had a couple of options. And we're working with a company called Original Juan. And Juan is spelled J-U-A-N. And they make a lot of salsas and barbecue sauces and things like that.
Right.
They have been fantastic to work with. You know, I kind of liken it to going to a hospital with your new baby. You know, the part of the nurse's job is to really make the parents comfortable. And Original One has done a really good job of that with us. You know, they handle all of the bottling. They handle the recipe. I had to convert the recipe into weight, which, you know, I had never done before. So
right.
After that, you know, they did the test batch and had me in there with them. And if you go to our website, you can see some of those pictures. But, yeah, they handle it all. They source the ingredients. And, of course, they're going to take a cut, you know, to build it and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, that's certainly understandable. But for a small business like ours, co-packing is definitely the way to go, because you don't have all the upfront costs of building a kitchen and a production line and things like that.
So is Kraft Foods shaking in their boots now?
We're probably not even on their radar, but our goal is to be there someday.
So if people want to buy your product, I mean, it sounds like you've pretty much sold out your first batch between your Kickstarter supporters and the fab.com. If people want to order your product, can they go to your website, which, by the way, I'll mention that too. I didn't have it here on the link on our show, but it's mayonnaise, and it's spelled mannaise.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. So we are currently setting up our e-commerce store. We're almost there. We've got it. The scheduled date of October 26th, but we think we'll probably have it done by Tuesday or Wednesday. It's almost
okay.
Done now, so you'll be able to buy like a one-pack, a two-pack, and maybe a six-pack online from our site, Or, you know, if you want right away, starting October 28th, you can go to fab.com and you can order right there because they'll have some too.
Okay.
But we'll be making another batch just as fast as we can. So if you want it, you can definitely order it. You can send us an order form or through the contact form that you're interested in, and we'll keep you on the list. Other than that, within a couple of days, we should have the e-commerce store set up and you can buy right from our website.
Now, not to talk about any trade secrets or anything you may have, but do you have any retailers that may have shown some interest at this point?
We do, but not big ones. You know,
okay.
The biggest, of course, is fab.com. The others are some specialty stores. We've had, probably half a dozen different barbecue stores around the country, especially the Midwest, that have expressed interest. There's a food store in New Jersey that has expressed interest. And the other day, we had a boutique food, and I'm not sure everything they sell, but they sell a lot of creative food products and stuff like that in Paris, in downtown Paris, that wants to get mayonnaise on their shelves. So we're going to be international before we know it.
That's interesting. Now, have you had any of the women libbers boycotting you already since you're calling it mayo for men?
You know, you're not going to make everybody happy. And, you know, we say it's mayo for men and women who like to eat like one.
There you go.
But there's, you know, we've had a couple of tweets out there that say that we're sexist, and we are not sexist people. We realize that our product is quote-unquote manly, and maybe it's just a way for us to hang on to our manhood since we're, you know, running the kids to soccer practice just like our wives do. So, you know, we hope we don't offend anybody with our term, and it's just meant to be fun. And, you know, I came from the insurance world. And,
well, I was going to ask
you
that. What is your background? Because you really weren't in the food business before, right?
That's correct. I've been in insurance and insurance marketing all of my adult life, and I love what I do. But, you know, let's face it, not everybody loves insurance. They don't love paying their insurance bill. And the cool thing about mayonnaise is when people eat it, they smile. And that's an awesome feeling. And it doesn't matter. You know, speaking of the male-female thing, if you look at our list of backers on the Kickstarter project,
right,
it is almost 50-50 on males versus females.
Huh.
So, you know, some people have said we've cut out half the market. That's a load of bull. You know, there's plenty of ladies who want to try this product. Maybe they're trying it for themselves. Maybe they're trying it for, you know, going to buy it for their husband or their boyfriend. But, you know, without question, there's definitely an interest, and we've got some of our biggest fans are females. They write to us, they tweet about us, you know, they say things like, "I'm eating mayonnaise with string cheese and beer right now, and it's delicious." So,
no, you can't. Like, I think it was Will Rogers said that if you can't make everybody happy, you know, you make some of the people happy some of the time, something like that. So, yeah,
right.
You got to do your thing, and like I said, later on, maybe you'll come out with a womanaise. But are you also planning, what we said earlier, are you planning on maybe looking at some other different flavors as things move along?
Yeah, actually we are. You know, we're kind of leaning towards some regional flavors. So maybe a senor mayonnaise that has some more Southwest feel to it, maybe some roasted chili or cumin or something like that. Or we've even been suggested that we should try some cilantro. We had somebody express interest in us coming out with an East Coast flavor that's got some kind of clam chowder flavor to it, so that it would be better on crab cake, although it's delicious on crab cake the way it is. So yeah, we might come out with some other flavors. We definitely want to come out with a bacon version because, you know, we love bacon.
Oh, yeah. Well, who doesn't love bacon? I mean, I gotta have bacon. Anything you sell, you gotta have bacon in it. I mean, it doesn't matter which. Matter of fact, add bacon to your insurance sale. That'll probably help.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I like to see the only thing better than bacon is bacon wrapped bacon.
There you go. Well, Adam, I wanted to thank you for coming on our show and telling us about your product, and it's really unique. And matter of fact, I would say that's a mayonnaising, and I think you will do well with this. It sounds like you've already got things rocking and rolling and kickstarted through your Kickstarter program. And everybody who's listening, make sure you check out mayonnaise.com, or you can find Adam's product on fab.com. You said like sometime by the end of this month. And I wish you much success, and keep us posted as things move along. And let us know if you come out with any new flavors or anything new you'd like to come on the show and tell our listeners about.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Frank. And the last thing I would say is if you want to like us on Facebook, you're welcome to do that too. It's facebook.com/mayonnaise.
Great.
And other than that, Frank, thank you so much. I really enjoyed being on your show.
Yes, thank you very much, Adam, and good luck, and take care and keep us posted.
All right, thank you. Take care.
All right, thank you. And there you go. That's Adam Hawley, and everybody check out his website, mayonnaise.com, and it sounds like a really interesting product that I think everyone should check it out. It sounds like it would be good on all kinds of things, even on Cheetos, as he said. We're going to take a brief little break, and then we'll be back with our girl, Joyzy Girl, coming on with food news. Laurie will be joining us to go over some new things going on in the food world. We'll be taking a brief break here and come back here in about, 3.5 minutes. Everybody hang tight, and we'll play a little bit of Coyote Kings, a little something-something, and we'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. Something on her mind. Good morning, Laurie. I think this is working up. We're not working yet. Hold on, Laurie. Don't go anywhere. We're having technical difficulties here this morning. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. We might have the Jersey call. Yes, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here. Are
you Sorry, there? The buttons aren't working.
Uh-oh.
Good morning. Welcome to the show, and I hope you got some food news for you. How'd you like that, by the way, that mayonnaise story?
Unbelievable. I'm waiting for the bacon with bacon.
Bacon wrapped in bacon. Yeah, it's a very interesting very interesting product, and I wish those guys well. It looks like they're off started pretty
They're on their way.
Pretty quick. Yes, they're on their way. So what kind of food news do you have for us there, Miss Joyzy?
Well, first of all, I have a surprise for me and for you. Someone
Uh-oh.
Here, yesterday she mentioned, I think it was yesterday, she mentioned she might stop by and visit me. And then she called and said, I'm here. So someone wants to say hello. Hang on 1 second.
Right.
Hello, Grill. It's your favorite coaster.
this is Liz. How are you, Liz?
Oh,
how are you?
You?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
are you gonna do the Jersey style news for us today?
No, I'm gonna leave that all up to Lori.
Oh, okay.
She's visiting a friend here in Cranford?
35 years ago,
yeah. Yeah, someone here in Cranford from 35 years ago. So she was around the corner, and I said, if you go to visit her, and I'm around the corner, you don't come to visit me, you're in big trouble. And she did. So I got to give her a hug, and I got to give her daughter a hug. And so they're going to listen to me through this food news.
Well, you girls go ahead and do it. You know, the Jersey girl style, go ahead and take it away. It's all
okay.
yours.
Oh, great. Well, first I'm going to start off with, of course, my wine pick of the week.
Okay.
And what I bought was a nice, it was a California Chardonnay for under $10. It's called Butterfield Station. And
okay.
the tasting notes are as this. The wine is well-rounded, easy on the palate, and a smooth aftertaste. It has aromas of spiced apple and nut brittle with a fruity medium body and a tangy pineapple and fruit salad finish. I don't know if it had that, but I brought it to my sisters last week. And, well, my family liked it, but for me, it wasn't as buttery as I had thought it would be. I like more of that Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. It tends to be much more buttery than this, but it was well worth the money, and everybody else seemed to like it, so that's all that matters.
And it's called Butterfield Station?
Butterfield Station. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Now, is that a California Chardonnay?
Yes, California.
Okay.
That's
of course.
My favorite wine.
Only the best. All right, so if people are out there and want to try out, you would recommend it highly for less than $10?
I would recommend it if you like that kind of style. Like I said, it had a fruity finish, which I like more of a creamier, buttery finish. So if they like that, then, yeah, they'll definitely like this. I think it was like
$8.
Okay. So,
great.
What's wrong with that? Okay,
and
you got them lined up
as a sponsor for the show, too, now that you're mentioning their wine, right?
I guess I got to contact them, too, now. Absolutely. I'm going to be a busy person here.
Yes, you are.
This is an interesting article I was reading. Do you know that pumpkin is the new bacon? We've been talking
There's no way.
That's what I was thinking, too, but they think so. Oh, Liz just says in the background, I disagree. Oh, well, you're like the bacon queen.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my gosh. And she's a grill master, too.
When you say pumpkin's the new bacon, like what do we do? We're going to slice it up and fry it in a pan? How is pumpkin the new bacon?
Well, here we go. It says, we carve them at Halloween and we'll bake them into a Thanksgiving pie, but pumpkins have never been very popular as an ingredient until now. And suddenly, pumpkin is everywhere, in high-end cocktails and mass-market bagels, in pumpkin custards, ginger snaps, and, of course, in the pioneering Starbucks pumpkin spice latte. And that's true. My sister, Lynn, the one who actually had the dinner after the apple picking, she
right.
went crazy waiting for the pumpkin spice latte to come out of Starbucks.
Well, I have to admit the pumpkin beer that comes out this time of year, That is very good, too.
Does it really taste like pumpkin?
After you have a few, everything will taste like pumpkin. Yes.
I was going to say, because I'm not a beer person, but if it tastes like pumpkin, I may try it.
Yeah, it does. It has a pumpkin taste, kind of like pumpkin bread, you know, because it has the hops and stuff in it, but yeah, it kind of tastes like pumpkin bread.
Oh, I love pumpkin bread. I may have to try that. I may be a beer drinker after all.
There you go. You might after all. And I was just sitting here thinking about, you said pumpkin's a new bacon. For some reason, I just don't see people going to Denny's and ordering a PLT. That was a bad joke.
Oh, you're
anyway.
On a plane. Oh, geez. Well, it says, this year is on track to be one of the most active years for seasonal pumpkin menuing. And it could top the 2011 record when more than 60 pumpkin-related dishes appeared on the menus of America's top 250 chain restaurants. That's a lot.
Wow.
If you zero in on beverage menus, the increase is even more striking. Pumpkin drink offers have increased 400% during the past 5 years. Can you imagine?
Wow. I always like that band Smashing Pumpkins.
I guess you're angry. It
popped in my head. So it's the new bacon. I guess that's right. You do see a lot of pumpkin things now, between the pumpkin beer and the pumpkin lattes and all the different pumpkin products like breads and casseroles and what have you. I guess there is quite a few of them. So, okay. I won't say it. There's no way it classifies as new bacon, but, yeah, you do see more pumpkin.
Yeah, and I have to say I'm going to plug my friend Jane Evans-Benacci again because she sent me a pumpkin bread recipe. I like bread, but they have to be moist. I don't like dry things. Sometimes cakes are too dry for me, but she sent me the most amazing pumpkin bread recipe. So now that's my favorite. I love pumpkin
bread. Well, now you're gonna have to go ahead and promote her website, too, that she said that, so people can get the recipe. Yeah. It's on her website. That is heritagecooks.com,
Heritagecooks.com.
Yeah, if you're gonna promote, you gotta make sure you get her website right.
Darn. Okay, I'll make up for it next week. You caught me off guard on that one.
I know. Okay. All right. So, what other things you got there, Pumpkin Lady?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to tell you before you throw me under the bus on this next article that I'm about to read. Promise me you'll hear me out.
All right, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you. Well, did you know that the first 7 seconds when meeting someone, without even realizing it, the first thing you'll notice is their hair?
Okay.
See? So this article...
I did not know that. So are we going to now have the Laurie beauty tips on hair care? Is that what we're going to do next?
Should I sing Beauty School Dropout?
Yes, already.
She knows by singing.
Yeah, stand by in case our singing guest doesn't show up. We might need you to sing that anyway. So,
sing for you, beauty school dropout.
All right. So what is
that? Like, I can sing theme song. Just name it, and I'm like right on it.
Are you going to talk about your beauty tips?
Okay, yes. More than 90% of your hair is made up of protein. So you need to have enough protein in your diet to support hair growth.
Okay.
Unfortunately, most people in the United States get plenty of protein naturally from their diets. This article caught my attention. I'll tell you really, really quick the truth is because it mentions about gray hair, you know, how to have less gray hair. So I'm pretty lucky. I don't have a lot of gray for my age, but it has a lot to do with food. So Fruits such as meat, poultry, fish, eggs, and dairy products are high in protein. Vegetarians can get protein from plant sources such as soybeans, seeds, and nuts. Now, these are some of the things that are really good to have for hair growth.
All right, before you go, I'll get back to the gray hair thing. So if I eat more protein products, my gray hair will go away?
I don't – you know how that is. These are just all kinds of things that might help prevent hair loss, gray hair.
I have found that if I eat enough barbecue ribs – that the gray on my beard will disappear and it'll turn the color of barbecue sauce. anyway.
I think Lizzie gets all this in her diet because she has the most gorgeous, jet black, curly hair. You do not have a lot.
I eat a lot of protein.
She's a lot of protein. Yeah, she's got. But I also think it's hereditary. My mom didn't have gray hair for years. So anyway, beta-carotene, it says here, yep, lots of carrots. This antioxidant can help your body synthesize protein, may encourage hair growth, and may help prevent hair loss. Look for it in fruits and vegetables, especially orange ones.
Okay.
Is that what you're doing?
Okay.
Vitamin A fosters scalp health. Many orange fruits and vegetables, such as cantaloupe, apricots, sweet potatoes, and carrots are all good sources of vitamin A, as is broccoli. I eat a lot of broccoli. I like it. The B vitamin. The nutrients in this family of vitamins, often called
broccoli causes other things, too. Go ahead.
Liz just said B doesn't stand for barbecue.
All right, go ahead.
Laugh away. You're in trouble. B vitamins can be found in poultry, beef, fish, eggs, whole grains, nuts, leafy green vegetables, and fortified bread and cereals. Now, vitamin K, the vitamin can promote hair health. You can find it in seafood, eggs, liver, green vegetables, yogurt, which I eat a ton of, and wheat.
Wait a minute. Another, you remember you and I talked about that several weeks ago? What's a big source of vitamin K?
Kale,
that's right. See, I learned something.
With the kale goes great with barbecue ribs.
And bacon.
And bacon. Anything goes great with barbecue, with your barbecue sauce. That's what I have to say.
All right, vitamin K, continue.
Okay, chickpeas. I love chickpeas because they're. I make hummus with chickpeas. So they are a great vegetarian source of iron, rich protein, an important combination for hair growth and repair. It says.
You know, I never knew that till like 3 months ago. That I never knew that hummus was chickpeas. By the way, just a side note.
A lot of people don't know that. I know. It's very easy to make too.
Yeah, just squish it up.
Gotta add some garlic, some tahini.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of lemon, olive oil. But anyway, because hair gets its structure from hardened proteins called keratin, people who don't have enough protein in their diet experience slower growth and weaker strands. Now, this one here, skinless chicken breast is another healthy source of protein. When the body is deprived of B vitamins, the cells can starve, causing shedding, slow growth, or weak strands that are prone to breaking. Very interesting. I mean, food, you know, it's just, you got to eat healthy. You got to eat right. It just is amazing how it affects the whole body.
And then you have the golden locks that everyone's looking for if you eat the proper foods.
There you go. How are your locks?
How are my locks? Yeah. My locks are fine. I got gray in my beard locks, but I really don't have a lot of gray either. Maybe it's because I do eat a lot of protein.
You know what? You don't.
I don't know what the beard thing is. I haven't figured that part out yet, but whatever.
Well, another thing, do you like sweet potatoes?
I love sweet potatoes.
Lizzie just said the same thing. She goes, I love sweet potatoes. That's her favorite. I love sweet potatoes. Maybe that's the new version.
I am what I am.
Damn, I am.
Okay, so what about sweet potatoes?
Well, the U.S. Sweet Potato Council, along with growers, marketers, and state-based organizations, has a lot to be happy about these days. Sweet potato demand has grown by approximately 20% per year for the past several years. Hardly a day goes by that sweet potatoes aren't popping up in front of consumers' faces in food magazines, cookbooks, and on television shows.
Yeah,
and it
right
says
beside the, right beside the pumpkins.
There you go. Yeah. And the more scientific research that is done on sweet potatoes, the more good news surfaces about its nearly miraculous benefits. That's what they call it, miraculous.
I still think it's the marshmallows.
Oh, no, see, I like my sweet potatoes just baked with lots of butter, kosher salt, and pepper.
Well,
oh, This is why she's my cousin. She likes it the exact same way.
Well, there you go. I still like the marshmallows.
Yeah, because you're a chocolate guy and you like the sweet.
Yes, that's true.
Chocolate, right?
Yes.
You probably dip that
sweet
potato. Chocolate.
That's right. There's nothing better. Matter of fact, a sweet potato yam s'more. That sounds great.
So I guess tonight you're going to be dipping your sweet potato in chocolate?
Yes. I'm going to try that tonight. I actually am.
We have to get you over to the East Coast and have a barbecue. You guys have to have a grill contest. Lizzie and Lily, yes.
Yes, bring it on. Bring it on.
Bring it on. She's good.
Got to get here first.
Yep.
Got to be in it to win it.
I'll bring my grill. All right, so we're going from sweet potatoes to what next?
Oh, are you throwing me under the bus? Are you moving me along?
Yes, I'm just trying to hurry you along. Instead of making my travel plans, let's talk about food news.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now you're going to start rushing me again, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm panicking here. Let me see. What should I do next? Okay, U.S. research found patients with gout who ate cherries over a two-day period had a 35% lower risk of attacks compared to those who did not.
And that's interesting because I read that too online. So your cherries stops the actual gout symptoms. And how many do they have to eat?
This is what it says here. It says, okay, the exact number. Here we go. Gout is a common type of arthritis that can cause sudden and very severe attacks of pain and swelling in the joints, particularly in the feet. These patients had a 37% lower risk of gout attacks than those who did not eat the fruit in any form. However, I don't know if it even says. Let me see. However, the benefit was only seen when eating up to 3 servings over the 2-day period. Further cherry consumption provided no extra benefit.
Hmm.
So that was kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
Servings. I have a neighbor in my Las Vegas condo. When I go back there, he's so nice. Underneath, he lives there. He gets gout really bad.
Well, take him some cherries. Give him some cherry pie.
I'm going to let him know. a diet rich in tomatoes, we all know tomatoes are healthy, they may reduce the risk of having a stroke, according to researchers in Finland.
Hmm.
They were investigating the impact of lycopene, a bright red chemical found in tomatoes, peppers, and watermelons. A study of 1,031 men published in the journal Neurology showed those with the most lycopene in their bloodstream were the least likely to have a stroke. The Stroke Association called for more research into why lycopene seemed to have this effect. And then it says, the study said the risk of stroke was cut by 55% by having a diet rich in lycopene. That is huge.
Very interesting. Now, stop talking about healthy stuff. Do you like tater tots?
Lizzie goes, yes, stop it.
It's
here. I know. I feel like I'm going to the doctor when I listen to your report. Do you like tater tots?
I do like tater tots. I haven't had them in a long time. I think of it as fast food.
So
what are you
going to
tell me?
How many tater tots are eaten every year?
Millions.
Lizzie just said millions.
At least 300,000 at my house.
At least 300,000 at her house.
Get this, 3.5 billion tater tots are eaten every year.
I contribute.
Liz said she contributes. I'm not a part of that statistic. That's unbelievable.
Yes, that's my food news for the day. 3.5 billion tater tots. Can you imagine the guy who invented tater tots? How happy he must be.
We're in the wrong business.
Yes, definitely.
$3.5 billion.
And I'm with Lizzie. I contribute to that, too, but I couldn't believe how many. That's a lot of tater tots. That's a lot of taters.
Lizzie?
Did you just call me Lizzie? Yes, because I called you Lizzie.
Sorry, Liz. Yes, Liz and I contribute to the tater tot industry.
Yeah.
Thank you,
sir. She said thank you.
And by the way, too, I got another note here. I know I'm interrupting your food news segment, but I read something, too, that I don't think is part of your food news. They discovered this week that cranberry juice does nothing for urinary tract infections.
Really? I know. I'm shocked. This is in the medical field. People don't know this. She's in the medical field. She's a smart cookie here, and she is actually shocked about that.
Well, that's what the study said. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, since I've been 2 years old, everybody says if you have something going wrong down there with your pee-pee, you drink some cranberry juice. But according to the new study, that it doesn't really have a lot of effect. I disagree with them, but that's what the study said. Look into that. Look into that. Next week, I want you to look into that cranberry juice story.
I'm gonna make a note. I will look into that. Liz just said her mom swears by beer, and she said maybe because of the something with the hops. She thinks that always helps.
Well, I swear by my beer all the time too when I'm watching football.
That's why she doesn't have an urine.
That's why you
don't have any. All right, what other news do you have?
What other news do I have? Let's see. Oh, do you like pistachios?
Pistachios, yes.
You do? Okay, well, Paramount is the largest pistachio processor in the world, processing 60% of the California crop. Boy, California gets a lot of kudos with me here, huh?
Yeah,
wine.
California's a great place. Look where I live.
Yes. So, I think Jersey's better, but we'll fight that out.
I'm going to find that out later. So what's the deal with pistachios? Are you going to give us another health benefit from pistachios?
Well, no, actually, I just wanted to – it was more or less just a plug here. It says California growers produce about 95% of the U.S. pistachio crop. It is the largest pistachio producer in the Golden State. The company ranks number one in almond production, and Paramount Farms predicts 2012 U.S. pistachio crop could reach – 550 to 575 million pound range.
Wow.
I know.
By the way, speaking of that, I read yesterday, this is hard to believe too, that more almonds are produced in California than there are wine grapes.
I can't believe that.
I buy that.
Yeah? Lizzie buys it. I'm not buying.
Almonds are produced, more almonds, pounds of almond are produced, because I guess they're heavier than grapes anyway, but more pounds are produced than wine grapes. Look into that one, too.
Oh, I don't want to do that one.
That's homework.
That's homework. It's going to be homework now. You're not making it fun.
All right, what other things do you have there, Goldilocks?
Let's see, what else? How much more time do I have? Because I'm pretty much, I have a long article.
Actually, you do. You have, let's see, you have 13 minutes, so... Go away. Go ahead. Read away.
I have 13 minutes. What else would be interesting that I didn't talk about? Okay, so you do this to me. You have a good time when I start getting. I'm like Julia Roberts. You know when she gives her that beautiful necklace and she starts fidgeting. That's me.
Yeah.
I panic. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, what do I do next? Okay, 100 years ago, before Walmart and Whole Foods and Albertsons and Kroger. Grocery shopping was a very different experience. It says here, many Americans...
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. You bought it from a guy with a mule and a cart.
Where's the stuff you've been to Cranford? It's Pleasantville. Cranford, New Jersey is Pleasantville. It really is. People should come and visit and see this little town. It's just so pretty. But anyway, this is not that food news, so we'll go back to this. It says...
Okay.
Huge high-ceiling halls lined with vendors hawking everything from fresh fruit and vegetables to full-service meat and fish counters. Some were centrally located markets, like Eastern Market in Washington, D.C., or Westside Market in Cleveland, and Seattle's Pike Marketplace, now 105 years old, is still going strong. But the smaller neighborhood public markets also thrived, as did roadside stands in the summer. We have a lot of those. Jersey's the Garden State, so.
Well, here in California, farmers markets are the big deal now. There's lots and lots of farmers markets. In fact, our friend's Sunblit Carol, she's in the farmers market business, and it's a big business now, farmers market, just about every day of the week here in California. It's in San Diego area.
Yes. I love you, Sunblast. Yep. Yeah, she does. She does some great postings promoting that, so. Good for her. Over time, though, the brightly lit supermarket with aisles of already packaged goods emerged as a more convenient op for mid-century Americans, harried housewives. And in many cities, the old public markets were demolished. But now there's a reversal. As urbanites and developers keen on fresh food and a more personable shopping experience, rediscover the public markets and revive them. Farmer markets are proliferating with impressive speed, and the old indoor markets are getting faceless. Yeah, I definitely, this is definitely a fact. I see it everywhere. In Washington, D.C., the old Century Market reopened this month as Union Market, featuring high-end vendors selling everything from homemade kimchi, and that is a Korean dish made with vegetables, to smoked fish, which I love smoked fish. I love smoked mozzarella. I love anything smoked. In some towns, like Napa, California, there we go again, they're building indoor public markets from scratch.
Right.
Supermarkets are not going away, but there's a lot more variety now.
Yep, it's the way of the future. So we see them popping up everywhere. I don't think supermarkets will ever disappear, but there seem to be less people shopping in supermarkets. I noticed that yesterday when I was at the supermarket. It seemed to be you could fire a cannon through it. So maybe everybody's at the farmer's market.
Maybe that's, oh, yeah. Yep. Everything's busy here. I don't know. In this, you know, New Jersey, no matter where I go, it's busy. King's Supermarkets, the little, you know, Trader Joe's.
Yes. Trader Joe's, they can sell anything and put a Trader Joe's label on it. I mean, people will stand in line at Trader Joe's here in California.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
Unbelievable. No matter when you go there, it's packed. The parking lot is packed. And there's such a nice country feeling about that place, though. I really do like it there.
And this story was brought to you by Trader Joe's. Okay, what's your next story?
How much more do I have? I think I'm done. Am I done?
Well, you're down to 9 minutes. You have nothing else to add. Does Liz want to add anything?
I have 9 minutes. What can we talk about?
Well, I guess.
Okay.
Talk about anything bacon-related.
Liz said she'll talk about anything bacon-related. How's that?
Hey, speaking of bacon-related, I bought, speaking of the supermarket, I bought bacon pieces that from the butcher. Yesterday it was wrapped in a tray like they do wrap chicken and all, you know, beef and all like that. And it was $1.99 a pound, and they have fresh bacon behind the counter. But, man, that stuff is good. Thick-cut bacon for $1.99 a pound. How much is bacon out there in New Jersey?
About $5-something a pound.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Man, that's what it is here. $4.99 and $5.99 a pound for the prepackaged stuff. But you know, I don't know if they do that at every supermarket, but check out the deli case and talk to the butcher behind the deli case and ask him if you can have the bacon pieces. It's pure meat, and it's $1.99 a pound.
When you take those pieces, you can render the fat off of them when you're cooking, like adding stuff to any type of green vegetable or. I do that all the time. I cut up pieces.
Well, check it out. If you want to save money, that's the way to go. And it's good stuff. So just a little tidbit on the side that I noticed at the supermarket yesterday.
And bonus with those pieces, if you render them down and get them a little bit crispy, and you dip them in chocolate.
There's that chocolate again.
You think I'm kidding? Oh, my God. I don't kid around with bacon.
Well, I don't either. As a matter of fact, I posted a post just a couple of weeks ago where I had a bacon and peanut butter sandwich, and people were like, have you lost your mind? But it had strawberries on top. That's one of the best bacon sandwiches you can ever have.
Oh, I would eat it.
You would? Liz said she would eat it. I wouldn't eat it.
I would totally eat it.
I mean, I would try it.
I don't know if it's crispy, though.
Yeah.
No, don't knock it till you try it. So why do you have no other food news?
Well, because when you interrupted me, when you said move on, I had a lot more to read about the. I stopped on the pumpkin. I stopped on the hair thing because you told me that you threw me under the bus, so I panicked. I was on vitamin K, doing a good job, wasn't I? Oh, let's talk about lentils. Okay, here we go.
Talk about what?
Lentils.
Talk about lentils. Yes.
I love them. And they are really, really good for you, especially high in both folate and iron. It says two powerful nutrients that nourish your mane. With iron deficiency, a condition known as anemia, cells can't get enough oxygen to function properly. The result can be devastating to the whole body, causing weakness, fatigue, and maybe even hair loss. So load up on iron-rich lentils for sturdy tresses. Now, I'm going to say this word, and I just had a Lebanese dish the other day called jedera. And what jedera is, it's lentils. It's made with olive oil, onions, it's really easy, chicken broth, and lentils. And it is so good for you.
Hmm. Now, I have a question. Are beans and lentils the same thing?
Don't make them.
I think so.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Because, you know, it's like pea soup, because my dad eats it.
Hey, Laurie, look into that. Tell us next week.
No. I'm just writing it down. I'm just writing it on my head. I do more homework.
I think they are, but anyway, well, I'm going to let you go. And, Liz, thank you for joining us, too, for the food news, and because we've got our next guest coming on here shortly. And, Laurie, do you like love songs?
I do.
Well,
I'm a Scorpio. I'm romantic. And you've got Barbarici coming on, right, next week. He's going to talk about food for love, stuff like this.
Yeah, recipes for love next week. And the lady we have coming on next, her name is... I got to check my notes here. This is awful. Her name is Giada Valenti, and she is an Italian singer, and she sings love songs, and she does they're beautiful songs. So I'm going to show a little class today, and we're going to have her come on here shortly. But as we go to break, before we bring her on, I'll play one of Giada Valenti's songs, and the song is called And I Love You So. And thank you once again, Laurie, for the food news. Thank you, Liz, for joining us. And you guys, keep Jersey straight.
Much.
All right,
you
guys take care. And I'm going to, all right, goodbye. And I'm going to go ahead and play Giada Valenti and her song, And I Love You So, where it goes to break. And when we come back, Giada will be joining us. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back here in about 4.5 minutes.
People ask me how I've lived till now. I tell them I don't know. I guess they understand how lonely life has been. Life begin again the day you took my hand. And yes, I know how lonely life can be. The shadow my spirit free. I'm happy that you do. The book of life is brief, and once a page is read, all bad love is dead. That is my belief. And yeah, and I love you so. The people ask me how I've lived till now. I tell them I don't know.
And we are back, and that was Giada Valente and her song, And I Love You So. And we are happy to be able to announce that we have Giada on her phone with us today, here joining us on the show. Good morning, or I guess it's good afternoon for you out there, Giada.
Good afternoon, yeah, for me, and good morning to for you, and good evening to some other listeners of us. I know that some of my fans are listening from Europe, so good evening for them.
We got them all covered. That was a beautiful song.
We got them
all. Thank you for joining us this morning / afternoon / evening on our show. I know we had you on our show. Oh, it was probably about 5 or 6 months ago, and we had some technical difficulties. Thank you very much for coming on. And I just want to tell you, too, that your music is so beautiful, and it's just great stuff. And usually everybody around here says, well, this guy doesn't have any class. Well, you're definitely adding class to my show today.
Well, I read your post on Facebook. I think you have class. The fact that you love food, I mean, that says that you have some food culture. So you have class for me, Frank. You're absolutely great guy. And it's a pleasure to be back with you. I remember at the time we had some technical problem that apparently we are not having today. So it's a great day.
Well, thank you very much. Well, first of all, I wanted to say to you, I understand that last night you received a special award at a special event. Can you fill in our listeners as to what happened last night and what kind of award you won?
Yes. Well, I got an award for the Italian culture and arts. It was a very special night. I got it from the Italian American Labor Council, so you know that here in America, unions, and it's an important thing. So there were many people from the unions and some great honorees beside me. So it was a special night. I always say that they give me, it's already maybe my sixth award since I'm in America only for 8 years, and they've been giving me so many awards for what I'm doing, from bringing the music and the culture around the country. And I always say it's a little bit too early, but you know. I always say I take it as an empowering to give him to for my day. Let's say when I will things are not going in the way that I want to go, and I look at those awards and I'm like, okay, I have to keep it strong and keep doing and going on with what I'm doing. So it's just good for that, and of course it's always I'm always very humble to receive them, and it's very nice. And I get to meet so many wonderful people thanks to my music. And yesterday I said in my speech, the music has been a gift for me, because the music has enriched my life in so many different ways, and even brought me to America, and even brought me to the brilliant ideas. How about that?
How about that? It brought you all the way to great ideas.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations for the award. Last time we talked, you did share some of your story, but I don't think a lot of people heard it. So how did you get involved in music and singing, and did you start as an early age as a child? And can you just kind of give us a background of how you got into music?
Yeah, sure. Well, I actually was part of my speech also last night. I mean, they ask me sometimes, when did you decide that you wanted to be a musician or a singer? And I always say, I've never made that decision. So they told me that I was already a singer when I was very little. My grandmother, she was a soprano, so she loved music. And my grandfather, from my mother's side, they both were music lovers. And I grew up and I spent a lot of time with them. And I've been told that I was very little and I was always listening to music. I did prefer to play piano at the time, not very well, before in place of playing with dolls. So it was really something that it's always been in my DNA. I don't know if you can say such a thing, but I mean, I don't know. I think music was part of my destiny. And so I started very little. When I was 7 years old, I could not even write the words yet, but my father and mother decided to send me to school to learn the conservatorium for piano and music theory, and I took my degree over there. And so it's always been something, to this day, I mean, one of the, I always say that if you have to, if you are blind, it's horrible because you can't see, you cannot see the beauty of the world. But to be deaf for me and missing the music would be one of the most horrible things that can happen. So if I had to choose, let's say, I mean, I'm so blessed that, I mean, music is, for me is something beautiful. I said yesterday in my speech something that my grandmother always said to me, that there was only two things that did not need words to communicate emotion to people. One was love and the other one was music. And I really do believe that's the reason why I do love music, for the kind of enrichment and the warm embrace that you get when you listen to music. I don't know if you, Frank, have the same passion for music, but I just love it.
Well, I do, and actually what you just said about love and music, and a lot of your music is about love, so you've combined both of those together in your career and with your CDs, and most of your songs seem to have that theme of a love-type song.
Yeah.
So I think you've combined both of those qualities together in your music, and it is great stuff. Matter of fact, I'm going to play another one of your songs. Now, this song is actually called Grande, 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 and for a guy like me who doesn't speak any foreign language, and the song is completely in Italian, correct?
Yes, it is. It was also is an Italian song written by Tony Rennies, and Grande, Grande, Grande means you are very big, you're very important to me. But it's existing also in English, and people are very familiar with the version Never, 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 Shirley Bassey.
Never, Never, Never. Right, okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna play that song because I want everybody to hear your music. A lot of people that listen to our show may not be familiar with your music, and it's very, very great stuff, and I'll say brilliant music for today. And I'm going to play Grande, Grande, Grande. We'll come back and chat a little bit more, and I want to find out more about your passion in the kitchen and find out what you think about food and those type of things. Everybody hang tight. We're going to play Grande, Grande, Grande. This is Giada Valente, and we'll be back here after the song.
Con te dovrò combattere, non ti si può pigliare come sei. I tuoi difetti sono talmente tanti che nemmeno tu li sai. Sei peggio di un bambino capriccioso, la vuoi sempre vinta tu. Sei l'uomo più egoista e prepotente che abbia conosciuto mai. Ma c'è di buono che al momento giusto tu sai diventare un altro. In un attimo tu sei grande, 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 le mie pene non me le ricordo più. Io vedo tutte quante le mie amiche, sono tranquille più di me. Non devono discutere ogni cosa come tu fai fare a me. Sono convinte che la vita è tutta lì. E invece no, la vita è quella che tu dai a me. In guerra tutti i giorni sono viva, sono come piace a te. sei grande, 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 come te sei grande, solamente tu. Ti odio, poi ti amo, poi ti odio, poi ti voglio, poi ti amo. Non lasciarmi mai più. Sei grande, 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 come te sei grande solamente tu. Sei grande, 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 come te sei grande solamente.
You just heard Grande, Grande, Grande is by Giada Valente. We are lucky to have her on the show with us this morning. Great, great stuff, Giada. When I listen to that music, I feel like I need to be sitting in front of a giant bowl of spaghetti with some Italian bread and Italian wine, and I could probably listen to that all day long while I eat Italian food.
That's a nice thought that you had. Well, I, as you know, I mean, I'm Italian, born and raised in Venice, but it's funny that I made this CD that you have, And I Love You So, where there are some Italian songs that I love, like this one, and Cinema Paradiso from Ennio Morricone from the movie. But normally in my show, I always say I'm able to bring Italy, even singing songs of The Carpenters, The Doors, The Beatles, because I mean,
right.
We are in America most of all. So, but my fans, they always say it's so wonderful that it's like being eating pasta and being in Italy with you, even if you sing to us Roberta Flack for the first time ever I saw your face. I'm Italian, so I guess that's my way of being. So it's nice that you get the spaghetti feeling, right?
Yes, I do get the spaghetti feeling when I listen to your music. And by the way, speaking of your music, I want to mention your website. We have it here on our website link. It's GiadaValente.com, and all you have to do is click on the link. It's G-A-D-A. Valente is spelled V-A-L-E-N-T-I.com, and you can find more information about Giada, her music, and you can also find all of her CDs and music on all the big music locations. And the new CD you just recently came out, the name of that CD is called?
And I Love You So.
And I Love You So, which was the first song that we played. And you have actually a big concert coming up. Is it like October 28th?
Yes, October 28th, you may have indeed people that are in the region of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. I will going back the third time in 2 years, actually. I have many fans in Pittsburgh, so I'm going back at the theater at Cabaret in Pittsburgh. They can find all the information and where to buy tickets on my website if they go to www.giadavalente.com, as you said. And it's wonderful. I mean, I always say that... I do this show that is called A Tribute to Love, and thank God there are so many people around the world that have these connections with love songs, and I hope one day you're going to be at a concert. Actually, even though I'm singing romantic songs, the show is a lot of fun, because love, I always say, can be anything. I mean, I shared story about my life in Italy with my parents, how my parents met, and it's always a big hit, the story about them. So it's people will laugh, sing along, they dance, of course, they shed tears because I sing some romantic songs that, and it's a wonderful feeling also for me. I'm always say it's a blessing that I'm able to do this show, The Tribute to Love, because I really see people, they come there that are in love, and I have to tell you, Frank, that some people came there just with friends and they walked out of the concert and then they got engaged. So.
Oh, really?
I'm really creating love, you see? So probably it's the atmosphere, you know, the pasta filling with the romantic sound that they say, you know what, let's spend the rest of our life together. So, I mean, I know that a couple actually also married last year. They were together already for a while. They came to my show. They came to talk to me after the show, and I said, oh, wonderful, guys. How long have you been together? And this girl said, actually, we've been together for 4 years. And I said, so you are engaged? And the girl said, actually, no, you never asked me. And a week after that, she called me, and she said, after your concert, when you said he never asked you to be engaged, and so he asked her to marry, and last year they married. So it was a wonderful feeling.
So you're singing about love, and you're also making people fall in love and getting engaged. So you're like a matchmaker on stage.
Yes, and you know, sometimes I made also mistake, because I remember I did a concert a couple of months ago, and there was this lady sitting next to this gentleman, and I didn't know they were not together, so I was keep saying, well, take the hands of this lady, maybe you can be. And then I understood they were not a couple, so I said, but you can be a couple, you look fantastic. And then I found out that the lady was engaged with a man, was sitting somewhere else, was freaking out, and I was trying to create a match over there. They came after the show, we had a big laugh together, and so it was a lot of fun, you know. It can happen. I try always to make couples together, but there was the wrong combination.
So that concert will be in Pittsburgh,
yes.
You say, and people can find that information about that. Now, are you coming to California?
Well, I have many fans now, indeed, in California. I may be able to come maybe next year. We are planning to film something for PBS and put together something with PBS and do a national tour next year. For sure, I will come to California. You know, my favorite place in California is San Francisco. I spent a month when I came to America. I spent a month in San Francisco, and I love LA and I love San Francisco. Where are you based, Frank?
I'm actually in San Diego, which it's, you know, the
never
the
been
part
there,
of
but
California.
I heard
never been
great
to San
things.
Oh,
about
well, you got to come to San Diego, because I have a feeling once you come to San Diego, you might think it's the best place in America.
You see? Now, then I have to come if you're saying that.
So we talk about food on this show, too, and we got into this a little bit last time when you were on before we had the technical difficulties. So do you have any passion in the kitchen? Since you're always singing about love, do you also have a love for food, or do you have a favorite dish or recipe you can share with listeners?
Oh, well. Being an Italian, I don't know if all the Italians are like me, but I adore food. I think that good food is one of the best things in this life, together with music. So, yes, I love to cook. Actually, I'm also a member of a very prestigious group called Accademia della Cucina Italiana. It's an academy of Italian people living abroad, and we test restaurants around the world. We have a magazine and a book, and every time, once a month, we go to special Italian restaurants in the city where we are from, and we test Italian food. So I really appreciate good food, and I'm not the best chef, but if you ask my husband, he would say I'm the best chef ever, but I can cook.
And he better say that too, right?
Exactly, otherwise he will not have food anymore. But I'm not home a lot, but when I'm home, I love to cook something that is typical from my region. That actually you can also grill, since it's brilliant ideas. Are you familiar with polenta?
Yeah.
Polenta is something that is typical from my region, from the Venice region, and it's actually made polenta meal. It's like
right. Mice
meal, I guess. Corn meals and water, and then the people should go and Google the recipe for polenta, and you spell with polenti, and they can basically make polenta. And then what we do in Italy, a lot of time in Venice, when the day after the polenta becomes kind of hard, so you can slice it in pieces and you can grill it on the grill. We do that along with meat, and you can put on top of the polenta, you can put cheese, you can put Parma ham. It's delicious. So we say everybody should Google the recipe for polenta, and then all heat it warm, and they can put cheese, Parmesan cheese inside the polenta when it's warm, and wait the day after. The polenta gets more heart, and then they can slice it in pieces and they can grill it. So it's delicious. We do it actually in Italy with meat. We have, you know, that carne alla griglia, as we say, that is grilled meat, and then we grill the polenta as well. This is something that I don't do a lot, but, I mean, when I'm in Italy, it's the first things I ask my parents. They have this place, the barbecue outside, and we spend the summer eating grilled stuff outside, vegetable. We grilled a lot, even in Italy. Many people, they don't know. They think the pasta, it's what we eat every day.
Right.
But actually, there are a lot of recipes of grilled food. We grilled a lot also vegetable in the summer, especially, of course, outside.
Yeah, because you're right. When you think of Italy, you think of the pasta and those types of things.
Yeah.
And I don't picture barbecue grills in everybody's backyard like we do here in the United States.
We almost all have. I mean, it's funny enough that it's something that maybe the Italian Americans they don't really do it in the country, but we in Italy we love the, you know, that there are many places that they are very busy during the summer. They are called agriturismo in Italy. They are basically a kind of restaurants, but they're not restaurants. Actually, they are barbecues place. So you go there and you see thousands of young people, old people, families, and we eat grilled meat and grilled polenta, grilled vegetable, and you can eat outside. It's very normally it's outside the city, more in the countryside near the beaches or something like that. It's very popular. They're called agriturism, and if you go in my region, but all over in Italy in the summer, you'll be impressed how many people are having barbecues at night outside, all together, friends, families. Yeah.
So how would you say brilliant ideas in Italian?
Idee grigliate or idee alla griglia. Maybe you should make it. When you invited me, it's going to be only for the day. It's going to be Idea alla Griglia.
Well, we appreciate
we make
you coming
it
on.
A month event, and then we share idea over Italian recipe on the grill.
I like that. Well, we appreciate you coming on our show. We're running out of time here, and I wish you the best on your next concert on the 28th in Pittsburgh. And everybody who's listening, make sure that you check out Giada's website. It's right, like I said, we've got a link right here on our show. Check out her music, and they can find all your CD and music. They can find it on CD Baby and Amazon, all those places too, correct?
Yes, they can find it on my website, over CD Baby, over on iTunes, all those digital shops. They can find it everywhere. Or they can go on my website, giadavalenti.com, and they can find all the information. They can even join the mailing list, so they will get all the information about what I'm doing, the new CDs and everything. And they even get a download for free one of my songs. So
Great. They
can go on Giada Valenti and join the mailing list. So if you allow me, Frank, I would like to say hello. Since every time I do radio interview, my walls is open and my fans are writing to us. They are all listening to us from France and Holland and Italy.
Yes.
So I would like to say hello and send all my love to all my fans. I don't know if you're familiar, but I call them my angels, because I'm always say they are the winds that make my music fly around the world, even in places that I've never. So I love them very much, and I said yesterday in a speech, sometimes many singers, they don't understand. If it wasn't for the fans and those people that love our music, my grandmother used to say, if it wasn't for them, you would be singing under the shower. So I thank them for being all there for me always and allowing me to sing on a stage and not under the shower. So I love them, and I want to thank them. I want to thank you, Frank, for this great interview. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you wherever you
need me, I'll be back. It would be my great pleasure.
I really appreciate that. And when you head to San Diego, let me know, because I can show you around. It's a great city, and I think you'll like it here in San Diego. You need to set yourself up a concert somewhere in San Diego. We'll touch base later. But thank you for joining us on the show. And everyone, please check out Giada's website. It's beautiful music. And I'm going to close out the show, Giada, with one of your songs. And everyone, make sure that you come join us every Saturday so you get to hear great music like Giada's music and hear about food news and all about food products. We appreciate everyone's support. Giada, you have a nice day, and thank you again for joining us. And this is her song. It's called Tell Him I Love Him. And everyone have a nice weekend, and thank you, Giada, and everyone take care, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, Frank. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Go.